Please take your Bibles and open with me to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, we begin reading with verse 1. Acts chapter 6, verse 1, and we will be reading to the end of the chapter. We won't get that far today, but it has the complete message that we're dealing with here. And so, chapter 6, verse 1 of the book of Acts. In those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to ministering of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. When they sat before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great number of priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and the Cyrenians, and the Alexandrians, and of them of Sicily of Asia, disputing with Stephen. They were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came unto him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the precious word that we are able to have and to read and enjoy. Many places in the world would just have maybe a single page, or maybe none at all. They have just heard it and put it to memory. We have your precious, precious word in our presence, in our hands, that we can use and read and study and enjoy each and every day. Help us, Father, as we look to your word, as we find these seven men that were appointed to take care of some of the daily duties, that the apostles could continue in your word every day, searching and studying and praying that the word would be increased and the souls would be saved. Thank you, Father, that we have this opportunity today. We have your word and we have this opportunity to speak your word. So please, that all that are here, listen. Listen carefully. Listen prayerfully. That word can touch our hearts, change our lives, turn us to be more like the Lord Jesus. But first of all must come that new birth. We must be born again. We must accept, Father, that precious gift of salvation given to us through and by your Son. So please, that you just touch our hearts. Bring those that are lost to the cross of Calvary. Show them that they're lost. Show them that they need a Savior and show them Jesus. And then please, just grow us each and every day. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Satan tried again and again to put a stop to this word that was being presented. And the word was that Jesus saves. The word was that you must come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. This Jesus that you crucified was spoken many times as they spoke to the Jews. Said, whom ye crucified, him, he is your Savior. He is to be your Lord. And so please, come by faith to him and be born again. That message just continued to move and go across the country. And as it continued to move, Satan would bring them and he would have them come in and through the religious group of the day, and he would have them chastised, you know, as we would look at Peter and John. And they were told, the apostles, in the last case, they were all put into holding. And they were told not to speak the name of Jesus. Stop speaking this name. Well, it didn't seem like that trick that the devil was using to try to get the Christians to stop speaking the name of Jesus. It just wasn't working. It just continued to spread and to grow. And so he thought, okay, let's move inside. Let's move inside. I think maybe I can be much more effective if I move inside the church and begin to work quietly inside the church. The devil's found to be much more successful coming in quietly inside the church, sitting maybe right next to you. Nobody looked to see who was sitting next to him. Afraid to. That's good. Don't think for a second that he does not come into the presence of a group of believers, because he has to come. And he thought, now, you know, if I could just stir up a little bit of trouble, cause a little bit of confusion, just a little bit, I think we can get this to be sidetracked. And he has been very, very successful with that tool. Very successful. He manages almost every building program. You can have a group of believers that's growing, and then they have to build on. And we've kind of discussed, you know, a way that would work, and that is that, you know, if each one of us would just bring one person, you don't have to bring 8 or 10, just bring one person to church next Sunday. Just one. All right? We're full. All right? Now, then, the guests, they don't have to bring, you just bring another guest the next week. Well, now we're setting up chairs. Well, by now, that first group that you brought, they heard the word of God, got saved. Now they're inviting folks. So you see, by the end of the month, we're building. We're building. How simple is that? One person. Just bring one. Just bring one. Witness to them. Share the gospel with them. Bring them. Bring them. Now we've got a building program. Oh, this is something that devil, he loves building programs. Because he can get you and me to argue and to fight, because we've got to figure out the color of the pews and the color of the carpet and the color of the walls and what size it's going to be and what it's going to look like. And there are so many things in a building program that old devil can sneak around and get you sidetracked. Always remember, there's only one reason and only one purpose for a building program, and that is to have a place where we can bring in those souls that were saved by the Lord Jesus Christ to teach them the Word of God. forget about the color, forget about the carpeting, forget about everything, because none of that's of any importance. The only thing that's important is that we have a place for them to sit that they can come and hear the Word of God. Now, the devil doesn't like that. The devil continues to move. And in this case here, there were some widows. Didn't seem like they were quite getting the proper care. Let's look to the scripture here. In those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily administration. Well, my first word of Peter or John was, take care of them yourself. Boy, that's a godly, loving way, isn't it? You see, Hellenist, H-E-L-L-E-N-I-S-T, is also these Grecian Jews, Greek-speaking Jews, were complaining against the Hebrews. We find in looking down at the Alexandrians, we find that there was quite a group of these Grecian Jews ended up in Alexandria, as you kind of study history. It would seem that this murmuring that is beginning to take place within these groups, that the complaining may be done by the ones that were receiving the most and giving the least. You'll find that normally the person that's complaining is the one that's not serving, the one that's sitting, waiting to be catered to and to be served. And I believe that that's what we have here. I believe that there was a group here that had great need, and that great need was taken care of by these apostles, by all the wonderful gifts that was given by the well-to-do, so to speak, those that owned land and owned houses and sold it and had given it to the apostles for distribution for those that had need. But it doesn't take very long. When you give someone something for nothing, that they want more. You can see that today in government. The more you give them, the more they want. Nothing has changed, has it? Peter and John had to deal with that, and the apostles back here within a few months after the Lord Jesus was crucified, risen, and ascended home. Already dealing with that. You see, it's what's into man. And so it became a problem here, because if we look to the description, they said their widows were neglected. Well, again, who is to take care of your widows? It's not the responsibility of the church. If the widow has no one, no children, no family, no one, yes, then the church takes care of them. But if the widow, if she has family, the family is supposed, Scripture tells us clearly that the family is to take care of their own family. Now, if there is no family, the church has a responsibility to take care of them. But when we look here at these scripture verses, it says because they're widows. So there seems to be some family there that should have taken the responsibility. But instead of that, they preferred to murmur. And they preferred to complain. And they preferred to say, hey, we want more. You're not taking good care of us. Well, get to work. Get to work. The 12, they got together, and they, by, I believe, the leadership of the Holy Spirit, to appoint some helpers. And the number was 7 that they stated. what they said in verse 2, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now, when we look at this leaving of the word of God, number one, you think of serving tables that they were carrying the food. Like, you know, us, man, we do a pretty good job on when we have the Mother's Day banquet. We take pretty good care of it. We do a good job of serving. I really believe, and we mean to. We want to. Here, if you look, the word tables, it means tables, benches, counters, where the money was distributed after it was brought into the treasury. And so as this money was brought in, so we think of carrying food to these widows. I don't believe it was that at all. I believe it was caring for their needs, and it was by giving them some of the finances that had been brought in by the folks that were well-to-do and had given of their monies. And so that's what we're talking about here, as they would deal with that. And so in the Hebrew and the Greek, the definition of a banker refers to tablers. So we go clear back to that point, and that's what I think the apostles begin to believe they were, was bankers. They were sitting there trying to figure out how to distribute what was needed for the care of these people. And if you look at one word, and I've circled that word, and that word is leave in verse 2. Because the word leave in verse 2 means to, it's a very strong word, and it means to forsake, it means to abandon. And so they were not just trying to share what they were doing, trying to take care of the administration part of it and then take care of the preaching part of it. The administration part of it was taking all their time, and they were abandoning the word of God and the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. And that needed to end. The needs were great. Yes, they were. The finances seemed to be abundant. And so, but understand that it is not reason that we should abandon the Word of God and leave tables and serve tables. Now, that is the best definition, I believe, that we have of the church today. The church today has abandoned the Word of God and went to serving tables. You feed the sick, you clothe the you feed the poor, you care for the sick, and we are told to do that again if there is no family. But so much of the church today is everything is a social religion. We're to come and to help and fill every one of your needs. The need that we're here to fill is the spiritual need. The Word of God needs to be proclaimed. You need to hear the Word of God. You need to enjoy it. You need to be born again. And if there's physical needs, yes, we're here, because that's the purpose of the church. But the primary purpose today of the places that have the church name on them is all social. It's not spiritual. There's nothing spiritual about it, and I believe that it's the effort of the devil, that Satan at this time was trying to do the same thing. He knew that if you could get a man away from preaching and teaching the Word of God and get him off of caring for the physical needs of people, that's something that is easily handled. If someone is here and sick, well, I'm going to have to shut the Bible and I'm going to have to come over here and take care of those needs. And then you look, and then there's another need and another need. And all of a sudden time has passed and the Word of God is long forsaken and forgotten. And that is exactly what's happened in the church today. The Word of God is forgotten. And so the devil's trick was to get them sidetracked and off of that. And I believe by the leadership of God, he said, let's appoint. And they did not, the apostles did not look out in the group and says, okay, I want you, and I want you, and I want you. What did they do? He said, you go out amongst all the family that we've got here, and you find seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to ministering of the word. What wisdom, what tremendous wisdom these men had. As this group of believers continued to multiply and continued to grow, so did the physical needs. And there was great physical needs of that time. And they did not want to forsake them. But the old devil thought that that would be one way that he could get these apostles sidetracked. And so that was his little trick. He thought he could do that. And so he brought conflict between two groups. One was being taken care of better than the other. And so they decided that they could get to arguing back and forth. They said, well, we should not leave the word of God and serve tables. So, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and of wisdom, whom ye may appoint over this business. Now, if you'll notice, we're going to jump ahead just a little bit. I want you to look at verse 5, because there is one individual that seems to really stand out. And his name is Stephen. In the middle of verse 5, you'll find, chose Stephen, a man of full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. What was the requirement here? Honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Now let's look down to verse 8. Let's look down to verse 8, because we'll find in verse 8, that same individual, Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now, we have the decision-making now of the people, and they come forward with these folks. And the request was in verse 4, but that we give ourselves continually to prayer and to ministry of the word. Verse 5, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith. A man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And Philip. Now those two names are names that we hear from time to time. Stephen and Philip. But then we have the next there, Prochorus. Now, he's a very common name in the scripture, isn't he? We hear much from him. Prochorus. Yeah. How about Nicanor? How about Nicanor? How many of you heard of the great ministry that Nicanor had? Okay. And then we have Timon. How about Timon? Okay. Parmenas. Yeah, there's another one that just is really common. And Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch. There's only two names that are familiar, and that's Stephen and Philip. The qualifications, back in verse 3 here, we find, look ye out among you seven men. And so the requirement that is listed here is honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, and full of wisdom. That's the requirements. Now, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll see what Paul has to say concerning the decision of bishops, which is pastors and deacons. And so 1 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to read from verse 2 down through verse 13. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Let's see if this compares with what the apostles talked about the first. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. A bishop then must be blameless, husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, and of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, no greedy, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, not something that is young or new, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and snare of the devil. Likewise, the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all good things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children in their own house as well. For they that have used the office of deacon well, purchase to themselves a good decree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. So we find that the list of the bishops, elders in the beginning there, the pastors and then the deacons as well, is under the same requirements, and it's much like what we find back here in the book of Acts as the first deacons were chosen. So we have the list. We have been given this list of seven, and if you counted them, you'll find there are seven listed there. Now in verse 6, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great number of priests were obedient to the faith. Couple wonderful blessings. Number one, you'll notice that the scripture doesn't say that there were many believers added to the church. It said disciples. Now, what's the difference between a disciple and a believer? You'll find a disciple is a believer working. And so, and also you'll find that in service, and then also it has the list, a great company of priests were obedient to the word. That word was going out, the decision of choosing these seven deacons and putting them in the responsibility of taking care of the daily necessities of the people, and now we can get back to the proclaiming of the word of God. And that's what was needed and was necessary there. And so, again, then we come and we're going to close here but I'm going to read it again because I've referred to it, and that is verse 8. Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. But we're going to find that those wonderful miracles, the leading of people to the Lord Jesus, the changing of their lives, disturbed once again the religious leadership of the day. And so if you've ever read through this, you're going to find that next to Peter's preaching, Stephen just really, really preaches a clear message to these folks. And they just patted him on the back and they said, "Good preaching, brother," and off they went. Is that the way this story ends? I think Peter got himself, or Stephen got himself stoned to death for preaching this message. Come back next week and see which one's right. May have to come a couple weeks. I don't think I'll ever get through that in a week. Big message. It sure is. Tremendous message. Powerful message. Good decisions made by the apostles, by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. They was not tricked by the trick of the devil. Let's see that we're not tricked by the devil, and we stay true to preaching his word and teaching his word. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you today that we can come into your house and enjoy this time of fellowship. And we have found ourselves introduced to the first seven deacons. Two of them we're familiar with, the other five we're not. We're not sure why that we don't find them through the scripture in other places. Maybe they were good servants and their ministry ended with just assisting with this handling of the money and the needs of the people. But we know that Stephen, as referred to two different times, was full of the Holy Spirit, with his power, with his wisdom. We need to be Stephens. We don't need to be one of these other men that have never been seen or heard of again. We need to be Stephens. We need to speak out clearly, stand for you. Father, we know, first of all, we need to come by faith to you. We need to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, saved by your grace. We need to come to the cross of Calvary and say, yes, I'm a sinner and I'm lost and I need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus. Please save me. Come into my heart and abide. Please, Father, speak to all the hearts today. And then, as the scripture says, there were many disciples added, many born-again believers, workers, wanting to serve, wanting to grow. Speak to all of our hearts now, Father, please. And I pray this in Jesus' name.